Coming up in this podcast, Scarborough High Rise, Colin Barnett, construction jobs, tox-free, AWE takeover, and our Person of the Year.
Welcome to Mark My Words, the weekly podcast from Business News, with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer discussing the important business news and data stories from Western Australia.
Welcome to our weekly podcast. Mark, the MRA decision to knock back a Scarborough high rise has become quite a talking point. What's the latest?
Yeah, well, the news on this came out a week ago. It was a big surprise to just about everybody involved. So Three Oceans Group has been working on this, doing a lot of public consultation, and a lot of people have been very supportive, and conversely, very little public opposition to it, in contrast to most other high-rise and coastal projects that people try to get up in Perth. So, when the MRA came out and said, no, we don't agree with it, that was a big surprise. Subsequent to that, there's been an increasing tension, I think, between the MRA and the minister. And in fact, Rita Saffiotti came out on Thursday evening, because Katie McDonald has been pushing this story really well through the week.
Leading it, I suggest.
Leading the story and discovering very mixed stories coming from different agencies. And it culminated in the minister, Rita Saffiotti, coming out saying she was disappointed in the handling of this by the MRA, and that she's pushing to changes to improve their transparency and accountability. And what's particularly frustrating her is, you know, the decision itself. You know, she's disappointed by that, I would think to say, but even more so, disappointed by the process. So, you know, if there was a problem, why didn't somebody tell Three Oceans months ago? And they could have sat down, had a discussion, see if they could work their way through it. And in fact, Three Oceans had been doing that with other agencies like Main Roads. But there was this almost cone of silence around the MRA until they came out with the final decision.
Yeah, right. So can the minister overturn that? I presume they can.
Well, they're an independent, well, an autonomous agency. You know, the whole idea is they've got a board. Richard Muirhead chairs the board. Now, notably, the minister has already foreshadowed plans to bring together the MRA and Landcorp.
Yeah, right.
And Kieran Kinsella, who's been chief executive at the MRA, he's finished up.
Mm-hmm.
So read into that what you will. But certainly now the minister is back involved, and I think there's actually an encouraging outlook from here. Clearly she's unhappy. She said she's going to sit down with the developer. So my reading of it is that this project will get up, perhaps with some tweaking, but there is very broad support. And we've seen that in the comments on our website.
Yep.
You know, our readers are supportive overwhelmingly.
Well, we'll talk about construction jobs in a minute because I guess that's part of it. But before we go there, now former Premier Colin Barnett has announced his decision to retire. What detail do we have there?
Yeah, so obviously a lot of people have been waiting ever since the state election to see what he would do. So he's finally come out and called time on his career in state politics. So one of those opportunities when we can reflect back a little bit on his achievements. Clearly, he achieved a lot as a person very supportive of state development and 8 years as Premier. I think I would say that a little bit of arrogance can be a good thing for a political leader. You know, it brings with it some decisiveness and a determination to get things done. But you can easily tip over the edge and become a bit too arrogant and aloof.
Mm.
And I think, you know, there was a point where Colin Barnett sort of did tip over that line in his career. So I think we'll remember him for a lot of good achievements. What are your thoughts about the retirement?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it couldn't come soon enough in a way. I mean, the last couple of months have been a little bit ugly, I think. I guess Colin's not going to just fade into the sunset, but he could have probably have handled things in a more dignified manner. That's my view. Look, I think you're right. I think he will be remembered in a, you know, I think some of that bigger stuff he's done, which is what he wanted to do. And it was interesting. I heard the comparison to Jeff Kennett, who was booted out of government of Victoria after doing a whole bunch of things. I think Jeff Kennett had a bigger impact in terms of the infrastructure and the changes he made in Victoria. But, you know, he was booted out. No one liked him. And yet you look back now and everyone kind of credits him with those changes. So I suspect there'll be a bit of that with Barnett. I'm just more than fascinated to see what he does next, because we've seen what Jeff Kennett's done. What's there for Colin Barnett? And can he do it in a way that you know, manages to not seem quite the same tone that he's had lately. Anyway, we'll wait and see. Now, Mark, I did mention this before, there's construction jobs. So there's been much talk of our economic revival. You've analysed the construction as a sector and found the outlook remains soft.
Yeah, look, I sat down with a couple of groups during the week who've got a lot of detailed insight into this space. One of them is a company called Pit Crew Consulting. So they track in a great deal of detail number of workers on big projects. And Peter Dybal shared some fascinating numbers. At the peak of the mining construction boom, at the end of 2012, there was, on any given day, there was 35,000 people in construction jobs on big projects in WA.
Right.
A lot of them on the big LNG projects, Gorgon, Wheatstone and so on, plus some of those big iron ore projects. That number has already come down to about 10,000 now. And he's also done a projection looking forward, which is interesting because we're seeing a pickup in activity. The big iron ore miners, BHP, Rio, Fortescue, they've all foreshadowed some very large developments up in the Pilbara. We've got the lithium projects, we've got a few gold mines happening, there's some infrastructure projects happening. So this is all very encouraging, but Peter's put a really good perspective on it. His view is that the number of construction workers on those projects over the next 4 to 5 years will be around 8,000.
Right.
So that's a quarter of the level that we had at the peak of the boom.
Mm. And still lower than what we've got at the moment.
That's right. He still says it. Because in fact, you know, as Gorgon gets finished and as Wheatstone gets finished, you know, these are sort of out of the news these days, but they've still had thousands of people up there finishing off construction.
Yeah.
They're now getting to the end point of that. And so a lot of people are coming off those sites. They'll be looking for new opportunities. Now, to put this in a broader perspective, the big growth area has been on the East Coast.
Yes.
So Peter's sense is, you know, if anybody's out there thinking there will be this easy supply of labour, you're deluded. You know, the East Coast, there's an infrastructure boom happening.
Yes.
And so demand for workers over there is on the rise. And we're seeing this in the demographic figures. Yeah, a lot of people are leaving WA and going to the East Coast. And I think the sort of numbers we're looking at, you know, it'd be nice maybe if there was a bit more, but it's at a good, sustainable level.
Back to sort of what, 2007, 2006 levels, right?
Which was
not a bad time in WA, right?
Yeah. And of course, we should avoid also those cost blowouts and time delays that happened on a lot of the big projects during the boom years.
Hmm.
One of the other groups I spoke to, Petra Nelson at Bright People Technologies. So they do employment software. So they're involved in the sort of onboarding process for a lot of people going onto these projects. So looking at their own database, they found that during the 10 or so years of the boom period, the average age of a supervisor fell by 12 years.
Hmm.
So all that experience gradually dissipated, and there were more and more young people going on there who did not have the experience. So little wonder you get the big blowouts and the big delays.
Yeah. No, well, you're right. But of course, if you've got all your workers, many of whom have flown back to where they actually came from, and others getting drawn to the East Coast, I guess, and you've got a skill shortage, you do have that risk, don't you, that you could have blowouts and delays because you're trying to get the right, not just labour, but the right labour. Anyway, we'll see. Now, a couple of takeover stories are running this week. The most recent is Cleanaway's bid for Toxfree.
Yeah, so this is a negotiated, friendly takeover deal. And it's a kind of deal that I have mixed feelings about. So Toxfree Solutions is a great WA success story. They listed back in 2000 when they had some interesting technology. About 2 years later, they were on the brink of collapse. That's when Steve Goslow came in and joined the business at what he admits was a very low ebb.
Mm.
He became managing director 3 years later, and he's run the business ever since. And they've had a great run. They've made a lot of acquisitions around the country. They've achieved a lot of organic growth. So it's now a very large nationwide sort of waste management contractor. A great story, run out of Osborne Park. And Steve's achievements were recognised a few years ago when he was one of our 40 Under 40 award winners.
Mm.
the board has come to a view. They've had a very, what they consider a very attractive offer from Cleanaway. So on the one hand, we're losing a WA-run business, but equally there's recognition about the value that the current board and their team have created at that business.
Yeah, no, look, I guess, and you're right, I have those same mixed feelings. You know, I hate seeing companies, West Australian companies, getting taken over. You like to see them continue to grow and, you know, become the next West Farmers or whatever it is. And similar, you know, with the Westfield selling to the Europeans, it's a similar, even though those assets are over there, it's that same feeling that why can't we have a global player that does the buying rather than the selling out? But anyway, I guess that's the nature of operating from an isolated point, that in the end, quite often, you become the target rather than the bidder. And then speaking of takeovers, AWE, that takeover is running hot still.
Well, very different story here. A contested takeover battle is looming. So AWE's core asset is half of the Waitsia gas field up in the Perth Basin, a couple of hours north of Perth. AWE is also the operator of that asset. That's the biggest onshore gas discovery that's been made in Western Australia in, I think, about 40 years. So a very significant development. And I think what makes it particularly valuable is that it's effectively in the southwest of the state, close to existing pipelines and existing infrastructure. So it's not some remote, difficult to develop asset. Mm. So a Chinese group tried to do a friendly takeover deal. They got rebuffed. They came back with a hostile cash takeover offer. And then a day or two later, Perth's own Mineral Resources came out with a even higher takeover offer. It's a scrip takeover, so two very different offers there. I think fundamentally they show the value of that Waitsia gas field. People need clean energy, and there's a large reserve that will be available for many years to come that will have a keen demand for it.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a political comment here. We all know about GST and my view on that, and the fact that Victoria, New South Wales will not develop their gas assets. It's being stated more and more often. They've got an energy crisis. And look at this. Here's an onshore gas, you know, opportunity. Look at the value in there. It's going to give West Australia a great opportunity, and they possibly could even be exporting that across to the east. That's part of their plans. You know, how ridiculous that we are funding this infrastructure growth in the East Coast when they will not develop assets like this and solve their own energy problems. It's wrong. All right, there's my point. Now, moving on. That takeover has a connection with our Person of the Year feature this week. Mark, I'll let you announce the name and tell us who else was in the running.
Always interesting to reflect back on the year that was and ask the question, who made a real difference during the year? Who sort of left their mark on the year? There was about eight or nine names that we considered for the, if you like, the gong. People like Andrew Forrest with his philanthropy work, with his involvement with the rugby and his work at Fortescue. And one of the most notable decisions there was the selection of Elizabeth Gaines as their next managing director. Mm. So, you know, for Elizabeth to win that role, a woman leading a top 50 listed company in the mining space, extremely rare. So, you know, I think she becomes a great example for other women. Rob Scott winning the top job at Wesfarmers. You know, anybody that holds that role, as we discussed last week, Australia's biggest private sector employer, you know, one of the country's biggest listed companies, you know, a corporate leader at the very peak. So good on Rob for winning that. You know, in government, Ben Wyatt and Rita Saffiotti, I think, have both made their mark at a state level as key ministers in the McGowan government. Gemma Green, with her achievements at Power Ledger and becoming Deputy Lord Mayor. Dean Smith, with his role in getting the same-sex marriage legislation through. So, you know, a broad sort of field there. But at the end of the day, we came back to someone else in business in WA, Chris Ellison. Runs Mineral Resources, another great WA success story. So that was a business that came to prominence through the mining boom. They had a great run through that period. Like most, you know, they sort of came off their peak a bit during the downturn, but has come back with a vengeance. And what I think really stood out, you know, they've got an iron ore business, they've got a manganese business, they've got a contracting business. So it's an interesting sort of diversified mix. Mm. He was one of the people that spotted the lithium boom, and he got into it in a very astute, very clever way. So effectively they run two lithium projects now. They're in the midst of big investments. They're investing about $600 million in downstream processing of their lithium. And then layered over that, now bidding for AWE to get control of the gas assets. And it's not so much just to run that as a separate business, it's to actually integrate that with their other operations. You know, the core strategic rationale is that they want to do all this downstream processing of WA minerals, and they need energy.
Yep.
They need reliable, long-term, predictable supplies of energy. And the Waitsia gas field delivers that. So, you know, for all of those reasons, you know, Chris is a very savvy, he's also, you know, quite a hard negotiator, you know, tough person to do business with in many ways, but extraordinarily successful, spotted opportunities and executed the strategy very effectively.
Absolutely, and great choice. And I think, if I remember rightly, he's still the honorary consul for New Zealand as well, isn't he? Just to throw in a bit more. Oh, look, that's brilliant. Look forward to reading more of that detail. So if you think the economy is picking up like we do, why not strike whilst the iron is hot and advertise with Business News? Getting your brand out to the market as leaders prepare to invest in their businesses is a strong message to send to an increasingly optimistic market. Give us a call and we'll be here next week. We close on the 22nd and we're closed until the 2nd of January. I'd like to wish our listeners the very best for the festive season and the new year. May it be prosperous. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Mark My Words with Mark Pownall and Mark Beyer from Business News. For more information, please go to businessnews.com.au/podcasts. And to receive these regularly, search for Business News WA in iTunes or SoundCloud.